So walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful again. As it says, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We are thankful for all that you have done. You have just prepared a place for us. You lead and guide us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who is the great teacher here tonight. We thank you for the anointing that rests upon us and is within us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you as the head of the church have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And so we're here tonight fulfilling that plan and purpose. You have a divine appointment for us. We can have specific things spoken to our heart, specific things that we need to hear tonight. Whether I say them or not, you can speak to our hearts. So I thank you, Lord Jesus, that this is your service. We're here to worship you. You're not here for us. We're here for you. We thank you that we can honor you, we can love you, we can serve you, we can bless you in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said, Amen. You know, last week we talked about abounding in thanksgiving and all the different things that we can be thankful for. And I didn't get as far as I would have liked to with that message. I know with the different challenges that we had our very first service here, I kind of cut it a little short. So I want to pick up a little bit more tonight on some of the things that I want to get to about what can we be thankful for when we receive things from Jesus. Says, having received Christ Jesus, what is it that we should be thankful for? What is it that we've received? You know, it's amazing to me when you listen to some of the Christian radio or TV or some of the circles that I get in. Wow, it just is amazing to me what some of these people think about as far as their Christianity. What Christianity is all about. What serving God is all about. And as it says here, we have received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. And I closed out last week by saying, have you received Christ Jesus? That's the first step, isn't it? I mean, if you haven't received Christ, everything else we talk about really doesn't make much sense. Receiving Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior gets the ball rolling, so to speak, gets the thing started. So once you've received Christ, and once you've received him into your life, there's a number of other things that we should be thankful for. Things that we have received that sometimes we forget. Sometimes we just take them for granted. Or sometimes as we're reading through the Word of God, we don't realize how important it is. You know, Matthew chapter 10, verse 8 says this, freely you have received to do what? Freely give. You know, there's an old cliche, you can't give away what you haven't received. And you know, while I personally, this is Hansen theology, but I think there's a lot of Christians that aren't giving away the gospel, fulfilling the Great Commission, because they don't fully appreciate and are thankful for what they've received. You can't give away what you totally, you know, haven't really appreciated what you've got. You know, let's just say you put your hands in your pocket and you go, oh, what's that? And you pull your hand out and there's about 500 $100 bills. Would that get you a little excited? And I'm going to be passing the offering bucket in a minute. But all of a sudden you go, whoa, where'd that come from? I receive that in the name of Jesus. You know, we're really good at saying, I believe that I receive. We're real good at saying, I believe that I receive. So freely we have what? Now, let me ask you something. Besides what's in your pocket, what's in your heart? Freely we have received Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, walk in him. I really can't walk in him until I fully realize the fullness of what I've received. And when I really realize what I've received, all the things that I've received, because as a believer, Christ has given them to me or provided them for me, that's going to make a difference. So bear with me tonight. I'm going to go through some real quick scriptures and then I'm going to kind of wrap this up. Part one was last week, part two is tonight. But when you start looking at what is it that we have received, I believe the first thing, obviously, that every single human being has received is the call to salvation. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came that we might receive life and that more abundantly. He came that we might be redeemed from death, hell, and the grave. He came so that we can receive all the things that he provided through his death, burial, and resurrection. So, what have we received? 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, to those who have received the call, whether Jew or Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. So, again, freely we have received that power. Freely we have received, in a sense, access or availability to that wisdom. Freely we have received all that Christ has provided for us. Now, I don't have time because I don't want to get off on this, but back in Matthew where it says that freely you have received, freely you should give, in the context, you know what it's all about? Right in front of that it says, it's talking about Jesus sending out his disciples. He names the 12 right about before that, in the beginning of that chapter. And right after that, then he says, I want you to go out and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, do all these things, cast out demons, and he says, freely you have received. What is it that they received? That call, that commission, that assignment. We have to understand that the same assignment Jesus came into this earth to do for the Father, we have it now. It's ours today. It's not like, well, that was Jesus, or that was the 12 apostles. No, this is the church now. This is the church age. This is the time that the body of Christ, the church, should be responsible to go do and finish what Jesus began. And so when we look at that and he says, freely you have received, freely give. What is it that we give? Everything that Jesus has provided for us. When we really truly understand that, again, I can't give away what I haven't really understood, what I've received. If I don't realize I'm walking around with $100 bills in my pocket, and someone asks for help, and I say, sorry, I'm broke, I can't help you. But the whole time in my pocket is more than enough to meet their needs. More than enough to meet everybody's needs. But I'm too lazy to stick my hand in my pocket. Or I'm too lazy to go, well, I know there's something in there, but you know, I think I'll just keep it for myself right now. I'm comfortable with where that is. See, a lot of Christians are just comfortable with where they're at. And I hate to say this, but the Great Commission sometimes makes us a little uncomfortable. Puts us out there. And I shared a little bit of our testimony last week about the fact that when we were first saved and we were supposed to go out street witnessing and supposed to hand out tracts, and what an idiot I was when I did it. I didn't know what I was doing and made a fool of myself because I really didn't fully realize what I'd received. We were trying to get them to take tracts. I wasn't trying to get them to receive Jesus. I was trying to get them to receive a tract. That doesn't work. You know what? When I start giving them a tract because of what it represents and who Jesus is to them, why I should sit there and talk with them for a minute. You know, a lot of times it's not just hand them a tract and then walk off. It that doesn't do as much good as developing a relationship. Because, again, we're supposed to be making disciples, not just converts. Amen? So, what is it that we've received? First and foremost, we've received this call to salvation. And as a call to salvation, one of the things that every single one of us needs to understand, we've been called in and received the adoption of sons. Galatians 4 says this, but when the fullness of time had come, when the fullness of time had come, that's an interesting phrase, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what your ethnicity is. I don't care what your financial situation is. I don't care where, any kind of background you are. Jesus put a call of salvation out there. And with that call says, I'm willing to adopt you into the family of God. I dare say a lot of Christians still don't understand that they've been adopted by the Father. They're still trying to get the Father to do something for them. And the Father says, hey, you're my child. What parent wouldn't do everything they can for their child? A loving father would do everything. These people that think that God is this mean old curmudgeon up there making us do all kinds of crazy things, they have a wrong image of the Father. He says here, when the fullness of time had come. I think that's interesting that over 2,000 years ago, time was full. See, we're still waiting. Oh, Jesus. When the time comes, time's already come. We're walking in a period right now of occupation. We're walking in a period right now of transformation. And so he says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law. Do you know, Jesus actually was born in under the law, but he was never subject to it because of his sinless nature. He says what? To redeem those who were under the law. We were all under the law. We were all under the curse of the law. We were all under the obligation of the law. And not one of us could ever keep it. That's why it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we all needed a Savior. And then he comes up with this, so that we might be what? Able to receive that adoption as a child of God. We have to receive that. We have to honestly and believe in our hearts that God has received me into his family. He has adopted me into his family. And I know we've talked about this in the past, but sometimes when you talk to someone who's been adopted, they've had a tough time. Maybe they were living in a difficult situation. Maybe they were orphaned, or maybe they were abandoned. Who knows what their background is? We've all come out of a difficult, maybe, background. As far as the law of sin and death is, we've all come out of that. The thing about a parent that adopts a child is they've chosen that child. They've said, I love you. I want you in my family. I want to bring you into my home. I want to give you my life. I want to provide for you. I want to do everything I can to provide for you. You know, when Mary and I were married and we had our first child, I mean, we were really young. We were about, you know, like this tall. People said something to us again today when they were at the, boy, you look too, you're too young to be a grandmother. I thought, yeah. And that's, isn't that great? And I said, I look too young to be a grandpa too, right? And they didn't say that. They didn't encourage me. So I said, you know, I'm the old man, but we have children, and we had children. We love those children. Those children kind of came along, and you know, when you're young, like as young as we were, we didn't know what we were doing. And you love those kids, but you didn't necessarily do a real good job with it all the time. Thank God I got saved somewhere along in the line when they were still pretty little. And then we started trying to do the best we could. And they didn't turn out too bad. Still got some work. Still got some prayers. But, you just got to love them no matter what. But when you are adopted into a family, that person says, I want you to be with me. I want to provide for you. You know, people say, well, I'm mommy's little mistake. Well, first of all, I don't believe anybody's a mistake. I believe God foreordained everyone as far as who he would be knowing and all that kind of stuff. And that's about the only side. If you're ever going to get me to talk about ordination, that's about as far as I'm going to go. But when it comes to being adopted, that's what he's talking about. He says, I have made a way for you to come into my family through Jesus Christ. Then he says, once you've been adopted, one of the benefits of being adopted into the family, you become a child, you get an inheritance. So let's look at that one, Ephesians 1. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received. Everyone say, have received. See, most of us are still waiting, thinking, oh, I wonder if God's going to come through with an inheritance, or he's going to blow it all before he ever... No, it says, we have. Everyone say, have. Isn't the word have past tense? Yes. He says, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance. He chose to adopt us. He chose to bring us into this family. He chose to leave an inheritance in our life. He chose us. See, again, have we truly received that revelation? Have we really truly received it so much so that we are thankful with it, that we want to go out and share that with someone else? That's what the Great Commission's all about. The problem is, we sometimes get these things, we know these things, but have we totally and freely received them? Have we understood that part? Then we've received God's approval. Once we've received that adoption, we've received that inheritance, it's because we've received his approval. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says this. He says, that's what some of you were. Paul had just given a whole list of actions and things that he described as very carnal behavior, because the Corinthian church was a very carnal Gentile church, and so he's giving them some instruction. He says, you know, such were some of you. But then he goes on and says this in verse 11. But you have been washed and made holy, and you have received God's approval in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, years ago, when we first started in the ministry and my wife was working still at some different jobs, one of the jobs that she had was I'd call it a quality control inspector. She made sure that certain things, depending on a couple different jobs that she had, made sure that those things worked properly, were done correctly. She, in a sense, gave it her stamp of approval. And if it didn't pass her, it wasn't going the rest of the way. She could hold up the whole, you know, assembly line, so to speak, in some of these situations, because she wouldn't sign off on something, and they had to get her approval. Husbands, understand that. You have to get your wife approval sometimes. In this case, she ran the whole deal as far as the whole assembly line. If something came down the pike and she said, nope, there's problems with this, they had to stop and find out what it was. They had to fix it before anything went further. God has already said, I don't care what's coming down the line. I don't care what's going on. I'm going to give you my stamp of approval. Do you know that a lot of us, we just don't feel very approved sometimes? We're still trying to get God's approval. We think if we pray enough, if I give enough, if I, you know, sacrifice enough, if I fast enough, well, pick whatever religious work you might think of. And I'm going to tell you something, it's never going to be enough. It's never enough. Because Jesus already made up the difference for us. What have we received? I've received this call to salvation. I've received my adoption into this family. I've received already. I have received this inheritance. You know, the prodigal son received his inheritance, went out and squandered it. Still, he came back, and the father loved him regardless, because he's never stopped being his son. Never stopped being part of his family. And the prodigal son was willing to come back and say, I'm not worthy to be called your son. I'll just come back and be a servant. Just treat me like a servant. No, the father wouldn't do that. So I don't care how bad you or I ever are as far as our actions, or how bad we might miss it, or how much we might mess up in our life. Does he ever look at us and say, okay, that's it? I'm done with you. You're not part of my family anymore. It doesn't work that way. That's right. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So we have our adoption. We have our inheritance. We have his approval. All of it has to be received, though. Again, I'm going to say this to you because I think sometimes we know these things. We have knowledge of them. But sometimes we don't sit and meditate long enough to realize, I have received the adoption as a child. I have received this inheritance. Now, both my parents and both of Mary's parents have passed on into eternity. And we have received some inheritance. In fact, it took a long time to settle the estate for her mother. Finally, it took, 2 years? Or I forget what it was, for the estate to be settled. All the things, the way it was all jumbled up. She got some bad advice from a lawyer, and it was a mess. Aren't you glad that God doesn't have things all messed up with lawyers? I'm glad that God didn't go to some lawyers and say, no, how do I pass on this inheritance? You know, we'd still be in our sin. Because they'd have Jesus still tied up in court about something. Somebody'd still be, you know, arguing about something. But for us to understand that we've been adopted, that we've been called, that we have an inheritance, that God has given us approval, he says, such were some of you. But you have been washed. You have been made holy. Again, you can't make yourself holy. He made us holy. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I could quote King James, but I'm going to read a translation, a more modern one, just for the sake of clarity today. So again, what's the question? What have we received? What is it that we're so thankful for? As you have therefore received Christ Jesus and all that comes with Jesus, walk in Him. Walk in it. Walk in it. Live it out. Enjoy it. Grab hold of it. Appreciate it. Be thankful for it. Abound therein with thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Since we believe, now listen to what he says, since we believe, and he's talking to this church now, that Christ died for all of us, we should also believe that we have died to the old life we used to live. He died for all, so that all who live, having received eternal life from Him, might live no longer for themselves or to please themselves, but to spend their lives pleasing Christ, who died and rose again for them. So stop evaluating Christians by what the world thinks about them or by what they seem to be like on the outside. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, merely as a human being like myself, how differently I feel now. Verse 17. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. So he's saying, what will we do with what we've received? What is it that we've actually received here? He's talking about eternal life. He's saying, spend your lives pleasing Christ. But now listen to the other thing he says. Also spend your life, don't be evaluating other Christians by their outward appearance. Don't evaluate based on worldly standards. Because you know what? Such were some of us. And I wish I could say I always walk perfect. I appreciate that Sean was giving me such a great commercial at the beginning. And I just say that was a good confession. Keep it up. Thank you very much. I wish I could say that I always do that. I'm believing God that that's true. Thank you. But I know there's times that we all, as human beings, can miss it. Circumstances affect us. Other things influence us. We can't always react to other people exactly the way we think we should. But yet here he's saying, we should not evaluate. I love that word. Stop evaluating other Christians by what the world thinks. You know, we've seen a lot of things over the last few years, especially in the last political realms, where people said, well, you can't, how can you vote for so-and-so because they're not a Christian? You know, we're not voting in a new pope in the presidency or in the Senate. But you should know character, and you should believe God that someone that stands for the same principles that the Bible holds up. Those are always the things that I find interesting, and we shared with that last year at election time. Vote your conscience and vote the scriptures. Because, again, it's not personalities. You're voting what people believe that here's a platform, here's principles that you stand on, here's things that we agree on. Let's vote along those lines. Let's believe along those lines. Let's pray along those lines. Let's evaluate each other along those lines. Not according to what the world standard is. If we were going to go by the world standard, we'd all be in trouble. Because as far as the world standard is concerned, Christ is the problem. Christians are the problem. Because you guys just won't get with the program. We're evolving as a society. We are better than that now as a society. And so what we have to look at is say, well, okay, I can't put that on you, and please don't put that on me. And even people that call themselves Christian want to evaluate you or me based on positions that we take, maybe things that we say we believe. Now, I think we should stand up for what we believe, but we don't beat each other up over it. I mean, it says, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. I shared that last week. So here we are looking at this, and he says, stop evaluating Christians by what the world thinks about them or by what they seem to be like on the outside. We're not here to judge what people are doing on the outside because God reads the heart. God's looking at the heart of every single person. And honestly, there's some people I've met, and I've thought, man, if they're a Christian, I don't know about it. And yet later on, you know, God will deal with me and say, hey, they're in my... Listen to this. They've received that call to salvation. They've received that adoption of sonship. They've received that inheritance. And more than anything else, he says, they've received my approval. So don't you disapprove. Ooh, that'll set you straight, won't it? Because as soon as you think, well, they're not living the way I think they ought to live. Well, you're probably not living the way they think you ought to live either. Isn't that true? Listen, I'm not living the way I think I ought to live sometimes. So, are we ever? We all come out short sometimes. Spend our lives pleasing Christ. Stop evaluating other Christians, especially not according to a world standard. We're not here, and we're not the same anymore. And as it says, our new life has just begun. So again, what is it that we've received? Out of all that freely we have received, now what should we do? Freely give that. That is good news to say to someone. Do you know that God desires to extend to you a calling into His family? He wants to adopt you into His family. And when you get adopted into His family, you have no idea what the inheritance involves. You know what that inheritance involves? Eternal life. It involves healing. It involves peace that passes all understanding. It involves so many other things that the world is striving to get through every other way besides through Christ. And so here we are. What is it that we've received? Because I believe we've received so many other messages and so many other, you know, wonderful truths, one of the things that the body of Christ has failed to do is go out and share that with other people. We've talked about that Great Commission. So again, let's turn over to Matthew 28 for just a second. Jesus came and spoke to them saying, Matthew 28 verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus saying, as we heard earlier, He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. He says, I'm with you even unto the very end, always with you. He says, but this is what I want you to do. All authority has been given to me. This is the resurrected Jesus saying this. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things that I have commanded you. So we are to go back into the Word of God and find out, what did Jesus command the church? Not suggest, but command. That's a strong word. He doesn't say, it would really be nice if you would do this for me. He didn't say, pretty please. He said, this is a commandment. This is my commandment. Isn't it amazing that one of the strongest ones, he says, this is my commandment, that you do what? Love one another as I have loved you. This is my commandment. So you look at that. We have received so many things. I've got another whole page of notes. I could say we've received His favor, according to 2 Corinthians. We've received Abraham's blessing, according to Galatians 3. We've received the Word of God, which brings forth fruit, Matthew 13. We've received the Word of Truth, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. We've received faith through righteousness, 2 Peter chapter 1. We've received His anointing. For every one of these is a whole message. Every one of these is a powerful message that we could spend time on. We've received the Holy Spirit. We've received faith. We've received, we should be mindful of all those things that we've received. I mean, He even warns us. He says, for there's a time coming. He says, if someone comes and preaches another Jesus than the one we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit that you once received, or if you receive a different gospel from the one that you received, He challenges them with that. He says, make sure you know what you're receiving. I'm so thankful that I've received the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Because as an agnostic, sitting over here thinking, all you Christians are a bunch of crazy people. And I knew you were nuts. I knew you were crazy. How could you possibly believe in something like some guy being raised from the dead? You know, I mean, you Christians, you just live in a fairy tale land. And then I met him. Wow. I guess it's not a fairy tale. He changed my life. He extended that call, and I received it. He extended that adoption as a son, and I received it. He extended that full inheritance of all that he bought and paid for, and I'm thankful that I received it. I am so thankful that I received eternal life. I'm thankful I received his favor, his blessing, his word, his faith, his truth, his righteousness, his anointing, the Holy Spirit. I've got a whole list of scriptures here. We could go on and on tonight. Just stopping and thinking about, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus. That's such a simple statement. And yet it's so full of power. As you have therefore received Christ, the anointed Jesus, the Son of God, walk in him, live in him, function and realize all that you have by being in him. You've heard us once, you've heard us a thousand times say that the reality as a discipleship relationship is to know who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. Those in him realities. That teaches us all about these things that we've received. I'm so thankful that think of this. Moses came along and got an assignment to go deliver Israel. Every Old Testament prophet came along, in a sense, and got some word or some revelation that they received and then had to go out and try to get Israel or someone else to receive it. And you know, they didn't always go over real well, did they? A lot of them got stoned. A lot of them got run off. One of them got killed, crucified. A lot of times, people won't receive what we have, and yet we've been commissioned to go with it and share it. You know, I can't make someone receive something. I can only make it so palatable, so to speak, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, that they're going to want to receive it from us. That's why it's always bothered me, and as an agnostic, it always bothered me that many of the Christians I ran into, they weren't telling me about the goodness of God. They were telling me how bad I was and that I wasn't living up to the things of God and how I was going to hell because I was doing this and I was doing that. Nobody ever sat me down and said, you know, there's only one sin that sends a person to hell, and that's the rejection of Jesus Christ, not receiving him. But as you have therefore received him, walk in him, live in him, do exactly what he says in him. And as we do, even Jesus, he received the commission, so to speak, from the Father. He says, I was sent into this world in the fullness of time to do what? Seeking to save that which was lost. He received that commission. He received that assignment. Sometimes we don't like the word commission. Think of it as an assignment then. We all have gone through school. We all know what an assignment is. And some of us don't like our homework. But that's what we've got. An assignment. To go into all the world and make disciples. Teaching them how to observe. Another translation is real blunt. Just teach them how to obey what God says to do. Isn't that simple? Just teach people, if the Word of God says this, let's just learn how to obey it. It's that. Be so thoroughly convinced that it's true that you don't have to think about it. You don't have to debate it with God. You don't have to, you know, take a vote. You don't have to get a committee together to find out, do you think we should do this? It's settled. I'm so thankful that when I first got saved, one of the things that I learned right away, if God's Word said it, that settles it. End of discussion. There's no debate. See, as an agnostic, I thought everything was up for debate. We can debate anything and we can discuss anything. And I love to debate. In fact, my wife used to get mad at me because I'd bring the Christians home to my house and just debate with them and drive them crazy. Such were some of us. Galatians 1 says, "For I want you to know, brethren, that the gospel which was proclaimed and made known by me is not man's gospel. It's not a human invention. It's not according to a pattern or pattern after any human standard. For indeed, I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it by man, but it came to me through the direct revelation given by Jesus Christ the Messiah." Paul received that revelation. And I'm asking you tonight, let that revelation get on the inside of you. Receive the revelation of how powerful Jesus is on the inside of you. Receive the revelation of who you are in Christ, that you have received that call, that you have received that adoption, that you have received that inheritance, that you have received that anointing, that you have received that grace and that righteousness. If you can really get a hold of that, that's already on the inside of you, and you're not trying to get it, man, then it's easy to give it away. Freely you have received, then it's easy to give it away. Oh, it's so hard to witness to people. It's so hard. No, it's not. It's really not. Do you truly understand what you've received? When you fully understand and appreciate what we've all received as believers, it's so easy then to just to share with someone, "No, my life has changed." You've heard me say 100 times, no one can argue with your personal testimony. Nobody can argue with my personal testimony. "Oh, that really didn't happen." Yeah, you weren't there. I was. I know exactly what happened to me. And I'll be glad to tell you about it. "Oh, that sounds pretty weird." It was weird. It changed my life. It was so weird. That's why I'm such a fanatic and a weirdo for Jesus now. Bible says I'm peculiar. You betcha. My wife said, "Yes, I am. I'm peculiar." And she's still married to me. Amen. Well, I just saw what time it is on that little clock back there, and I think it's the right time, so I better quit again. Let's pray.